And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the excellent things that you have ordained and set in thy own authority. For the things that Satan cannot thwart, because they were established before the foundations of the world. We plug in to those immortal things. We plug in to those ordinations by power and by might. We plug in to those things that the devil cannot corrupt, that the devil cannot counterfeit, that the devil cannot accuse, perfected and established in God by his excellent power. For thine is the kingdom. For thine is the power. For thine is the excellent glory. Thank you. And we set our hearts to seek your face in this strategic point in the unfolding of events as ordained by the heavens. And all wise men and all righteous men in this age seek wisdom to understand the emphasis of your spirit, that we may set our feet where our Father set them. We may find that place and that plot where Moses put his feet that rattled the foundation of the Red Sea and caused it to be splitted hither and thither. Show us the navigating points and places of the wise of old that found favor with you, that such among us might be numbered among princes, having sufficient stature to move the hand of God and to command deliverances unto Jacob. To you we come today. Quicken us, and we shall call upon thy name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' great name. You may be seated. God bless you. You are welcome. We dwell in strange times. We dwell in strange moments. Powers of the Spirit are stirred. Any man that is found outside of alignment lacks the necessary covering by ordination to preserve him. Darkness seeks an occasion to take advantage. And at such a point, we come into God's presence to seek his heartbeat. May God give you an ear that can hear. In Jesus' mighty name. Maybe I need to use a scripture to communicate for a few moments. But Happy New Year, Happy New Year. Now you can... Happy New Year. Hallelujah. I'll use some scriptures to communicate so that the things that I picked from heaven, we'll be able to relate with them, being that we are sons, Berean sons, that look upon the word of God as it is enshrined in the scriptures before we can accept an emphasis that is brought to us. Hallelujah. Amen. I say hallelujah.
Amen.
Jeremiah chapter 1, as we seek to establish the coordinates for our motion. Hallelujah. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. In verse 1, and in verse 2, and in verse 3, the name of Jeremiah's village was mentioned. A profiling of background, the political template, scenario was also captured in order to bring us an introduction of the setting in which the word of God is proclaimed. Are you with me? Now, but my emphasis is the word of God that came to Jeremiah. Verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now, that's what I refer to as ordinations. Obviously, Jeremiah was being educated about the power and the counsel of ordinations for the first time in his life. Now, he did not understand the depth of the information that God was releasing unto him. That the things ordained were ordained in the timeless age, before the Son was raised up as a witness. The things ordained were captured within the context of the counsel of God and established by his authority. Now the implication of that is bomb, blight, season, timing are not strong enough to distort the capacity of an ordination in God. Because bombs were factored and figured in a time-based dimension. Ordinations were established in the eternities of God. You see, before death became something worthy of note, hallelujah, eternal life existed. Death was the result of defiance. It was the result of rebellion when man proclaimed independence from God. The consequence of his proclamation of independence affected the entire scope of the part of creation that he was intended by God to oversee. All right? The template and the delicate balance that was held up in the visible creation was distorted because of the rebellion of man. Death, you might call it an event, an occasion. But in the realm of the spirit, it is actually a personality. And that personality was identified and designated as such and in that capacity on the account of the rebellion that took place upon the face of the earth. Now, do you realize that when you accept to do the will of God, there is a strong effect, there's an empowerment, there's a personality in heaven that is empowered on the account of your resolve to align with God. I'm coming. When you decide to rebel against God, there is another personality coronated and empowered by reason of your rebellion, and he will be a thorn in your flesh as a legal judgment of your present position. Death did not exist before, but he was saddled with that name and the mission to kill, to steal, and to destroy the moment Adam decided to go the path of rebellion. But you see, you know why God was not bothered? It's because eternal life that existed in the circle of the Godhead was superior to the advent of death. And the story of the children of Israel in the land of Egypt was actually a revelation of the capacity and the potency of the life of God over death. Now, so God is trying to take us back to the ordinations. That is the thing that the devil cannot contest. He's trying to take us back to the cradle where it all began. That is a position that the devil cannot counteract because they were established before he was created. And so God decided to visit this young man and to enlighten him a little. Because his scope of operation was limited. And God needed to establish an upgrade in his life so that he will understand that it is not everything that can change. The pursuit of the purpose of God does not begin in the future. It begins in the past. It begins in the heart of God. If you were born in 1983 and you want to align with God, you must of necessity be taken back into the past. I'm talking about the hallowed past, not just the dated past, but the hallowed past, captured beyond the scope of time to envisage that which is enshrined on the heart of God, which was God's intent before you found expression. That is the only way you can be accurate. When you are accurate in that which is in the heart of God, you can now be accurate on the ground. Now, so a lecture was conducted. An educational system was established. In order to upgrade the oppression of Jeremiah, God had to reveal to him that which was set up by ordination. Amen. Now, what we see in the natural are riots and crises, Fulani invasions, bombings and killings, maimings and abductions of little girls and women. Amen. Are you with me? And then from that standpoint, we now judge, we now envisage a future from the capacity of these predicaments that have invaded us. That is what the devil wants. He wants you to interpret the future on the accounts of his own orchestrated movements in the end. As long as your interpretation is based on those movements, your interpretation is wrong. Because you are not judging from ordinations, you are judging from manifestations. You are not with me. You will come around very soon. You will come around. Hallelujah. Now, so God was educating the young man and trying to take him beyond the context as he plays out in time into the established immortal dimensions captured within the ordinations of God. Now, when he was able to... I think we need more scriptures to open this thing. Because the way you are looking at me today, I'm trying to prophesy. That's what I'm doing. If I say it plainly, you will not understand. If I say it plainly, it will not make sense to you. When that man was able to capture the context of that which was held up in the ordinations, there was a factor in his life that didn't matter anymore. Amen? You know, the guy had a challenge when God showed him the bogus things that he was supposed to fulfill upon the face of the earth. That even before he was born, he was already identified as a prophet. Now, that gave me some time of meditation. He said, I knew you! What exactly did God know about him that he did not know about himself? Because I will show you several points in scripture where you see angels saying some things, but it's obvious that men do not know them. What did he know about Jeremiah that Jeremiah did not know about himself? A young worshiper of God from the minute village of Anathoth, a forgotten city, now raised up. And when he began to love God, God now decided to open the secrets to him and say, you existed as a seed of eternity before your mother conceived you. You had an ordination. You had an established pathway carved out for your sojourning. If your pilgrimage upon the face of the earth is manifested on a different pathway other than this which I ordained, you existed in time, but you did not strike any chord in eternity. You will not have the capacity to wield the scepter that you were ordained to wield. There's great power in that which you were ordained to be. But you see, the fact that it was ordained doesn't mean you are the one to fulfill it. Meanwhile, if it was captured within the powers of ordination, it must come to pass one day. But it doesn't mean it will be you anyway. Because God's plans are constant and his men can change. I'm prophesying. Ah, Malakoria. His men can change. We are dispensable.
We are not useful if we are not aligned. We are not useful if we are not broken. We are not useful if we are not selfless. We are not useful if we are not devoid of every agenda that points and furnishes and pampers self and flesh. We are not useful. Your degree in engineering, it may not be useful. But we thank God you got one anyway. Hallelujah. The things that matter are the things that transcend beyond time. That is what might make your engineering certificate strategic. That is what might make you strategic in the city that you have found yourself. In the midst of the challenges that abound in that city, the very reasons why people will fail will be the very reasons why you will succeed. Because there is an ordination that backs you up. Hallelujah. By reason of this ordination, we have the capacity to link up with him that is in heaven. We have the capacity to manifest or to receive reinforcement from the realm of heaven in administering an eternal counsel upon the face of the earth. And so a man that is going to function this way must be isolated from the context of manifestations. So there's trouble in the family. There's this challenge here. Have you realized that the same situations that befall people that have faith are the same situations that befall people that are faithless? We don't go to a different market. Neither do we have different transport industries in Makurdi. If we are going to travel, it's either you are using New Nyanya because the airport is not working. Is what you are using what? New Nyanya or Benue Links. I think the questions cannot be too far apart because we dwell within the same context. But you see, the fact that we're in the same context doesn't mean we function by the same economy. Yes. A man can be functioning by an economy that is not in the context, because he has a linkage with the powers and the security of ordination. So such a person is a pilgrim. He's of this world, but is in this world, but is not what? Of this world. He has reinforcement from heaven. He has capacity to extend the kingdom of God without limitation, because he has a link with that which God has settled in himself. I'm trying to paint a picture. My body is Nigeria. It's Nigeria I'm talking about. That's my body. What exactly is Nigeria? Is it the two rivers that meet in Lokoja, or the landscape rich in mineral resources, great oil deposits? Is it the riches that form the land? Somebody help me. What is Nigeria? Okay, let me educate you a little before I go further. Okay. All right, let's use a few scriptures. Maybe it will unlock it much more easily. Can we go to the book of Romans? I think Romans 4 or Romans chapter 7. I don't know. If you are still with me, say amen. Oh my God. You are not here. If you are with me, say amen. Sorry, I'm going to find my scripture. It seems I have lost the scripture. Romans 7, but Romans 9. Are you sure you know where I'm going? Yes, you are flowing in. You have my spirit. Romans chapter 9, please. Turn to Romans chapter 9. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you there in Romans chapter 9? I just want to do a scripture. Now listen to me. Listen. What forms Nigeria is not the landscape, it's not the mineral resources, it's not our rich oil reserves, it's not the federal capital territory, it's not even the seat of government. Now, the politician doesn't have as much influence as you think he does have. Nevertheless, there is a portion of government ordained by God, assigned to leadership of lands and in fact leadership of any form whatsoever. That's the reason why government and rulership is of interest to we, the people of God. But that's a tertiary matter. Let us try to stumble upon the real issues and touch the invisible pillars that God has put in place by which He defines essence and reality. In the book of Romans, chapter 9, the Bible, God attempted to give us some insight as to who the Israelites really are. And from all the things mentioned about the Israelites, their landscape and terrain was not captured within the list. Are you with me? The location of the nation was not part of the things captured in the description of Israel as a nation. In Romans chapter 9 verse 4, the Bible says, who are the Israelites? First thing that was mentioned is such as pertain to the adoption. One. Did I talk about oil reserves and food basket of the nation? To whom pertaineth the adoption? Number two. To whom pertaineth the glory? Number three, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and what? The promises. Whose are the fathers? And of whom concerning the flesh Christ came? Now, can we draw a list? Obviously, the last point on that list cannot pertain to us as Nigeria, because Christ has already come and is decided to come in the flesh as an Israelite. Are we there? But we can glean on the items mentioned there to form a case that will give us the opportunity to peep into the original ordinations that form the structure in which we find our own manifestation. Now, if we are not such people, because when crisis comes and our corporate destiny is threatened, what prophets normally do is that they go back to the ordination. Those are eternal pillars. That the recovery begins from touching the pillar of ordinations. You know, when Samson wanted to recover himself, he needed help. For someone to help guide his hand to where? No restoration can take place except your hand is guided to touch the eternal pillars, which are the ordinations. They are not subject to the decisions of a court of law. They are not decided by census and polling. They were established by a government eternal. Whose is the kingdom, the power, and the glory? Just in case you will think your governor is such a strong personality. Hallelujah. The ordinations is where the real powers lie. The reason why a governor that God doesn't choose can even survive physically on the throne. Meanwhile, you will know that every throne that God has not ordained for you will be a curse to you. Many people ruled for 4 years and it was like a curse, an unfolding curse for 4 years. There was no rest in it, because the ordinations did not decide it. Oh, you don't understand. You don't understand what the Bible means when it says God is the governor among the nations. Somebody can stand on a crusade or a political platform to make utterances and say all kinds of stuff, if the ordinations do not back it, you are like a house without a foundation, a shoe without a sole, and a tree without root.
If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
Now, so the first thing that God had to bring to the knowledge of this young man, Jeremiah, was the ordinations. Because every other thing will be contested. But that which was ordained by God, it did not come by census and polling. If you stand your ground and stand with God, with time, the ordinations will speak and they will not lie. Now, so the Bible says, who are the Israelites? First of all, the Bible reveals that there to them pertains the adoption. There were several races upon the earth. And when God decided to choose a race by which he will unveil, as a specimen, by which he will unveil the way his government intermingles with man, he decided to adopt the race, the Israeli people. Hallelujah. That was by an act of God's sovereign authority. It was by the ordinations. It was not a product of census and polling. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you are not here.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, when Jesus said, "For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory." That's why I want to show you why Jesus made that statement. For thine is what? For thine is what? For thine is what? The glory. There was a reason why Jesus made those statements. Because if we are going to make any reasonable progress, we must begin from understanding the ordinations, the adoption. So by an act of God's sovereignty, Israel was adopted as the spacemen through which the protocol of the wisdom of God can be evaluated in a systematic procedure as it deals with the nation, as it deals with individuals. We can now see the way God deals with people because of this displacement. That is the adoption. Now, in the New Covenant, the Bible reveals that we ourselves have received the spirit of what? Adoption. Indicative of the fact that God had to exercise his sovereignty again in order to include you as a part of the displacement that will express the logistics of his kingdom administration. Oh my. Are you understand? Now, I'm not trying to speak English. Oh, God, help us. Help us. I'm trying to convey something. I'm far from it yet. You can't see where I'm going yet. But just stay tuned in the name of Jesus Christ. So there was such an adoption that took place in order to take you out of a track where God cannot influence you because his authority is not over your life. And if God is going to influence your outcome, he'll have to exert his authority in order for him to fulfill his purpose concerning your life. So if God had no purpose concerning your life, there would have been no need for him to exert his authority over your life. But you see, because there is a purpose captured within the ordinations, God must of necessity exert his authority over your life. And because of that, by an act of his sovereignty, he reached out his hands and brought you into his economy through redemption by Jesus Christ. So that you can be in the pool and the shackle of the move of God, and the hand of God can manipulate your life in keeping with his eternal purpose that he had ordained in himself before the foundation of the world. Please help me tell your neighbor, if you are observing from the ground, you are wrong. Your estimation of your life is based on circumstances that happened in the last 10 years. 10 years doesn't exist in heaven. Only ordinations and protocols and administration and a throne that issues counsel within the context of a wisdom that was consummated in God before the foundation of the world. Now, so this man was being educated. So before I formed thee in the womb, you existed. Oh, it means that at that point, the mind has gone blank. Because the mind only keeps record of what time can present. So he went beyond time, so the man was blank, and he had to plug in by faith at that point, because the Bible says by faith we understand, indicative of the fact that there are some kinds of understanding that you cannot capture except from the standpoint of faith. It's not an understanding that comes by logic or by experiment in the laboratory. It comes by a knowing of revelation that is quickened into you by the activity of the Holy Ghost on your inside, with an intention to link in you with heavy things that were concluded in God before God started. You see, God finishes first before he begins. Well, you know, we try to do stuff, try to meander stuff, try to manipulate stuff, but you see, God finished before he started. So he didn't call you to be creative. He just called you to yield. He called you to yield. Just tell your neighbor, please, yield. Just yield. He has everything figured out. He has done the thinking, and he has done the strategy session, and then he has brought you as a piece on the chessboard, and you fulfill your part in the whole puzzle, in the whole mosaic, when you decide to yield. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Now, so you were also adopted, and the process of adoption that brought you into the economy of God was that you received the spirit of adoption. Because of that spirit of adoption that marked you as one of within God's kingdom, you do not exist as a grandson or a distant relative. You exist as one that is an original inheritor of the heritages of God, and because of that you can call him Abba Father, my Father. And so you also experience the adoption. So when we are talking about nations and people strategically placed within the context of the government and the administration of the kingdom of God, first of all, we need to look at by what means were they adopted. That's what God looks at. He doesn't look at where are you from. We are from Konshisha. He doesn't know anything about Konshisha. If you, oh my God. Hey, Kabosi Makaya. He doesn't know Konshisha. Do you get that? Then you will notice that another factor that was mentioned in the long list are the covenants. So we cannot talk about a people without talking about the covenants that exist within them, exist among them. Because if there's calamity, the wise men know where to go. They go back to the pillars, to where the covenants were made. That's the only place you can take a reading that will be accurate. You see, there's something called land and survey. We were trying to get the certificate of occupancy of this property. And so the people now said, the money we need to pay for them to survey here is heavy. Why? Because the last point, the last survey terminal or integer is in Habib Bank. Do they still call it Habib? No, you see, I'm of the old stock. What do they call it now? It doesn't mean that you change the signboard of a bank. It's another bank or what? I don't know what. But the name has changed many times. But the time I was talking about, it was called Habib. Is it Habib or Platinum? Oh, Jesus. Oh, okay, it became Platinum Habib. That name is it correct at all? All right. Now, so we have to take the surveyors. That was the last point that they had an integer of survey. To draw the survey from there and to bring it here. That was why it was costly. Now, you see, even if you cry, there's no way they can survey it otherwise. That's the only approved point, the only cardinal point that we can pick our bearing from. Most of you try to interpret your life in the midst of crisis by crisis. You are in limbo. There's no approved portal at that point in time to make reference to. You are living in a world without pillars and foundation. And your interpretation is a function of the activity of deception that Satan has facilitated. And many of us live within that limbo. And we are like pawns on Satan's chess game. Just going to and fro without any direction, without, oh my God, they bring posters. You have not consulted whether that candidate is in line with the ordination. Yes, sir. Now, so when people live without a reference, you know that their outcome is bleak. Because they are not in cooperation with the ordinations, and as such they cannot receive reinforcement from heaven. The resources that we want will function with are not of earth. Even if people are they become jealous, they become so angry about us, about what we are doing, it's not an issue, because what is the power behind what we are doing is captured in a realm that doesn't experience depletion. That's the only way we can be sure of tomorrow, because we are connected to that which is older than time, that which is older than death, a life that is superior to sin. Those are the things that Jesus came to establish. The first people he had as his specimen tools to work with were base men and fishermen. But in the book of John, 1 John chapter 1, a fisherman was saying that which we have seen from the beginning. He spoke beyond time. His testimony went beyond the belly of time to make reference to ordinations and to touch things that time cannot make reference to. Was he still a fisherman at that point? So you see, it doesn't matter where you start from. I said, yes, in your family they have the altar erected to witchcraft. That's a time-based reality. It's just part of the flavor to show God's excellent power manifested in his kingdom. But see, people are not fasting to faith sufficient enough to bring the dimensions of God on the ground. We like telling stories. We like being part of the confusion. The church is supposed to be that pillar that will be the reference point that will bring the perspective of heaven, draw the line from the ordinations into the territory and into the very heart of the covenants that makes the people of essence before God. That's the church, is that plumb line. I tell you, the prophetic voice will come again. Where people can know where God is speaking and what God is saying. Church is not just going to the market to get a suit and a tie. Are you still with me? Yes, it's not about... I went around town today, I saw so many posters and bills. God will help us. Amen. You see, all the captions I saw, that's today, I don't know whether there are more, but the ones I saw today, all those captions I saw in town, they did not come from God. You see, you have power as a man to roll out activity. If there are carnal people around, they can go around the rat race and be part of the jamboree. But the time comes when the destiny of the people is at stake. Wise men will journey from Arabia to seek for where the king is born. The funfair has existed for too long. In those days, we used to call one film Chali Chali. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. I decided not to be part of the rat race. It's everywhere. It's in Abuja. It's in Lagos. In fact, the one in Lagos, they do the rat race with temper. But you see, when it doesn't strike a chord and it doesn't make reference to the ordinations, we are all captured, measured into time. And that's the least level of oppression that you can assume, which is a result of deception. They say, I've said ye are gods, but ye shall die like men, and ye shall fall like one of the princes, measured into time, fall from the galaxies, where you are held up by the hand of God, and fall into the context of human manifestations. And you'll be part of that confusion, and it is within that context that your life will be lived. No, that's not good. That's not good. Now, so can we make a list out of the things spoken about Israel? We have one: adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promise. Now, see, it means that as far as God is concerned, the essence of this land cannot be separated from the promises he gave our fathers that found him here. There is nothing we can do outside of those pivots that will be in keeping with that which God has ordained. We cannot undo the promises. They are part of the foundation that we stand upon. We cannot undo the covenants. We need to find out. You see, in order for you to know what makes us still survive, we were invaded by a lot of forces, with the heart that will be extinct and exterminated, with the heart that this land will be given to genocide and every one of us will be cut off. But there was something that resisted that intent. That was power, that was more powerful than the machinations that were put in place to see to our demise. That thing that resisted, what is it? Because that is what makes us who we are in this region. It is because of our accessibility to those things that we are still here. That's the essence of our existence in God. There is a covenant here that cannot be undone by a bomb, by blight, by Ebola. It is high time we knew about these things so that every one of us can live from the standpoint of accuracy. Are you with me? Now, so wise men need to study the circle of the move of God within the land. And when we study the circle of the move of God, we'll be able to touch the ordinations. Are you where I am now? Those ordinations are the ones that are eternal. Our passage through time is a passage of pilgrimage. It will not last forever. But you see, we are immortals. Your passage is through time is an opportunity for you to invest into the realm from whence you came, which is called eternity. And it's only the yardstick and the measurement of eternity that can be used to quantify the essence of your own pilgrimage. And that's why Paul, in his own discourse, revealed to us that success cannot be quantified in time. You know, we have success motivational messages, and we have different estimations of what success is. For some, it's having a car to drive around. For some, it's being able to have enough money to do as many projects as you intend to do and all of that. Hallelujah. But you see, from Paul's perspective, Paul said, I have finished my race. I've run my own race. I've finished my course. I've fought my fight. I've kept the faith. Then he now said, hereafter a crown is set for me. So the impact of what I did and the value of what I did will be captured within another time frame, another frame of reference. It is in eternity that the result of what I did in time will be fully evaluated. So success cannot be achieved in time. Because the one that crystallized you as a seed of eternity will have to evaluate you within the context of his own perspective. And as long as that is not done, you are only successful in your own eyes. And it will surprise you to know that a lot of people that we call icons today, in time, when the evaluation is done, you will think it was rigged. You will think there was rigging. May the Lord give you understanding. Oh my, you are not here. You are not here. How? God will help us. Now, so we there is something we want to achieve for these 3 days. Are you with me? Now, so just stay tuned. Now you can. Don't enjoy the sermon. Play. No. He's with Jota. You know, I had an encounter with Benny Hinn in one of his tapes. And I believe a measure of his spirit came upon my life. From that day, I could not preach successfully to the height of my potential without having sound behind the background. So I'm not trying to be like an American. I'm just trying to be like the people of my own spiritual tribe. That's how they function. So I know you can understand that. Hallelujah. I know you can understand that. Now listen to me. Now so God was trying to educate this young man and to bring him in line with ordinations. That is the only way you can be a pillar in time. You can operate by the prophetic spirit and be a reference point to a generation. Such life, such that your life will become that life that they will say from the time of John the Baptist. There was a point at which an era that if you exclude the life of John the Baptist from that era, you don't have a good account of that era. He was a reference, a pillar. He was the most accurate manifestation of what heaven was doing at that time upon the face of the earth. And so reference must be made to him as the gateway and the open door to that new regime in the government and the administration of God. He said from the time of John the Baptist. That was a man that was in line with the ordinations. And so his manifestation in time was a reference point. If you want to take full spiritual inventory of God's move within the territory, you cannot do it outside of the times, the life and times of who? John the Baptist. Oh, mama. By the time we go into heaven, that's how classification will be done. From the time of Pastor George, from the time of Evangelist Chris, then those immortals will stand as benchmarks and references. This is how we will evaluate the things that happen. Because in the midst of the blight, the bomb, in the midst of Ebola, these ones were standing erect in alignment with ordination. And so we can trace the integer of the, what they call that thing they used to mark land, of the beacon. We can trace the integers on the beacon from their manifestation. They form a beacon for the kingdom upon the earth, and will trace things from their lives, their witness, their testimony, forms a reference point to the move of God and the administration of the purposes of the kingdom. Those ones are immortals. Their life has meaning beyond time. Eternity will have to make reference to them as beacons in the administration of the government of God. Before I formed you, I knew you. And before thou camest forth, I sanctified and ordained thee. So I can go back now to my body. What is Nigeria? There's no line in between Nigeria and Benin Republic. No line on the ground that says where this line is following is Nigeria now. And then this line now is Benin Republic. What is Nigeria? From God's perspective, Nigeria actually refers to the covenants that God has here. Now, is the covenants on ground? Oh my God, I wish I had time. It's the covenants on ground that will determine how God moves, what he does, who he kills, who he spares. Who read the election and fulfilled 4 years, 8 years? Who died on the throne? Whose wife died while he was ruling? It's because of the covenant. Everything must be referenced to the covenants that exist within the territory. And if God told Paul, it is difficult for you to kick against the pricks, because that which is ordained in eternity cannot be raised in time. It is effortless for you to attempt to contend with things ordained before time was born. It is madness to fight against that which does not need air to survive, which does not need to breathe in and breathe out to sustain its existence. It is madness to fight and to kick the barbed wire. Oh my. Then Paul saw how small he was. Your journey with God will begin with an accurate estimation of yourself within the gargantuan scope of the power and the ordinations of God. You see, a man that is proud does not know God. You see, he's anointed, he doesn't know God. Let's separate anointing from a man that knows God. An anointed man can die. A man that knows God will not until darkness comes. When you see somebody there and they hail you, you say, and if I had my way, I would have stripped myself of, because I'm an apostle by calling, it's not a title. If I had my way, I would have stripped myself of it. I like myself more when I'm in Lagos. Nobody knows me. I'm in Mo'olue. Just flowing. I'm free. But when you come to my calling, they say, and the apostle has come. It's a body. It's a body. It's a body. It's a body. A man that is proud doesn't know God. I know you confuse anointing for the knowledge of God. Before this conference ends, you will know what it means to know God. Hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit is different from spiritual hearing. Hallelujah. Have you heard that Elisha, he in his cave, he was hearing what was happening in the bedroom of a king? That's spiritual hearing. It was it God that was speaking? you guys are, you are not here, you are not here. Mama Rokosima Tabula. We have accepted a cheap gospel, a beggarly gospel that can only produce infants and sucklings in the kingdom. Because, and your true shape will never come until you find Christ and make him your unique goal. Then by him, you are given a shape, a name, an identity. You are given a definition and a stature. You become a pillar in the house of God. And one of the mortars that stands in the corridor of witness. It's not everybody that prays that God answers. How long will we be men? For how long will we live without covenant, without reference, and just float as if we are slaves of the economy? As if we are slaves of statistics, we are 6 million. We are more than that. There are covenants that stand with us. There's a promise he has given us. Heaven and earth can pass, but those words will live forever as testament. Israel had the right to go to God and say, there is a land you promised us. And because God is not a man that he should lie, he's not capable of that. That's the ways of men, not the ways of immortals. He is committed to the matter because a wise one has evolved that can make reference to immortal things, to invisible things, and to insist that the hand of God must move. No man is strong except he knows the ordinations. You'll be licked off by the power of witchcraft in the territory, except you are held up by something stronger than darkness, stronger than death. And when they send death to you, it will look at what is reinforcing you and it will go backward. I've seen death go backward many times. Many, many times. See, the truth is, if you see the devil, try to find, he has a file of people he needs dead quick. I know where my name is there. I'm on time. There's a knowledge you can have, it will keep you from evil. You know? This is the will of God. That what? Abstain from sexual immorality. You may not need that admonishment if you know where your name is on the list. You will not need it. You may not need to read that scripture for 25 years. But you know, you have knowledge of where your name is on the list of wanted ones. Wanted, number one. Wanted, number two. Those ones are people that have wrecked havoc. The devil is tired because they are held up and reinforced by heaven. They are direct expressions and linkages of ordinations. In order for them to die, you have to wrap up a generation. Jesus said, you know, you don't take a life of an immortal. Don't take the life of an immortal. They were coming to break their bones so that they would die quickly. He gave up the ghost before they came. They didn't help him. He laid it down because he will pick it up again. He was not helped. They came to give him vinegar so that it would suit the pain and then dull his senses to pain. He refused to drink it. I want to feel every bit of it. Don't help me. Don't help me. He refused to drink it.
Yeah.
He cried aloud, aloud. That was what bothered him, not the pains. He said, immortal, invincible. Why have you shifted ground? I feel naked, uncovered. That was his concern. The women wailed. You know how women cry when there's about to be an execution. What he said was that in heaven, the great one has removed his shadow and he wept. He was not in, maybe he passed through to, but he was not a citizen of Kwato. Maybe he passed through your village. He was not from there. What bothered him were powers and ordinations. Setting the courses by wisdoms, by powers. How I wish we'll be able to see what the Bible means by "for thine is the king." See, you can't uproot it. And that's why John said, "Repent, oh, repent, repent," I'm warning you. Something is coming from heaven. It will collide with it. It's better for you to seek peace with it. You see, mortal. It's better to seek peace and to be in alignment with what is coming. I saw a glimpse of it. It was heaven. Repent, repent. For the kingdom of God is at hand. Those are men that interface with ordinations. What is the covenant that God has with Nigeria? Why Ebola could not take us out? Why Boko Haram can try and attempt, but it will not succeed? It's because God spoke a word into the land, and it is standing as witness. People might suffer in between, between and between, but that word is still making demands on heaven. The Bible says, until his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Yes, I know that your family, the family they married you into, is a colossal satanic and witchcraft sculptures, have survived in that place for long. The mistake they made was to marry you there. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. I know it has been terrible. I know there have been attacks, but there's something bigger than the attack. There's something stronger than death. There's something stronger than witchcraft that you brought. Of the works of God in the land of the living. Troubled about the battle that you want to now say it's all battle, it's all battle, it's all. No. If you complain like that, nobody will say from the time of Unguvan, that witness will not be complete for a reference to be made. Until witchcraft is blotted out, you'll be standing until darkness has no voice. You'll be standing until every covenant that was entered into expires without the opportunity of being renewed, because you are standing on a token, on an ordination. Connected to a pillar, because a pillar will make you taller, make you stronger, make you see better. You will not die. You will not die. You will not die. You will live to testify of the works and the goodness of God in the land of the living.
standing. When darkness has had its best, you will still be standing. Right now, I want you to receive strength, might, by His Spirit in your inner man. We talk too much. We worry too much. We do not know our God. If you give him half a chance, he will show you his might. Before you leave this meeting, much fire needs to come upon you. That will create passion in your heart, like a madman, to be focused on where God is leading you. That's the only way we can set a trend that will initiate the visitation of the God. You may be seated. God does not move anyhow. He doesn't move anyhow. When you see the Spirit of God move, it's not cheap. There is an intention. There is a wisdom behind every move of God. And so if we can trace the circle of the move of God, we can understand the intention behind the move. Hallelujah. Now, we have some people that are still alive here that were part of the revival of the 70s. It's on the strength. Some of our mothers here were part of that revival. Most of them gave their life to Christ. That time, God filled with the Holy Ghost, empowered by God. Now, when we check the prophecies of men like Pa Elty, we now had an understanding. We now began to have an insight that the covenant that God has with Nigeria is with the youth. Now, most of us look to the politicians for the changes. We look to political parties for liberation and emancipation. Meanwhile, the covenants that God established in the land that rigged the whole situation is a covenant with the youth. Now, when that revival was not, in fact, it was because of that move of God and that covenant that NYSC came into manifestation. It was a baby of prophecy. And the purpose for the empowerment and the endowment that came was so that the gospel could be preached in Nigeria, to saturate Nigeria first and foremost. Because Nigeria was going to be a missionary platform in Africa, an apostolic face of Africa, where God will raise his nursery and plant his garden, and that which he has nurtured in his garden, he will transport to the nations of Africa and Europe. It is missionaries from Nigeria that were ordained by God to evangelize and colonize Africa and Europe. That was the reason for that outpouring. Are you with me?
Now, I'm trying to tell us what God said for the year, but I need to give us a perspective. There's a history in these things. That revival raised our mummies, you are seeing today. They're part of that revival. They still have that anointing till now. Because you know what happened? Yes, the gospel was taken to nations of Africa. Yes, the gospel was taken to Europe. Do you realize that in Nigeria we have more pastors in Nigeria than pastors in Africa put together? Because this is the apostolic face of Africa. And do you realize how that any deficiency in Christianity in Nigeria, it becomes a fate of Christianity in Africa and Europe? Or you have not gotten it? Maybe you have not traveled wide. All our deceptions, all our robotics, everything we do on pulpit is what African ministry is all about. Most of the pastors that preach in African countries were discipled from the fallout of our table in Nigeria. Every error you can think of, legalism, license, liberty, license for liberty, every teaching that any doctrine was stressed in excess over and above the context or the purpose of God, the impact is on the landscape in Africa. Just do some traveling, you'll find out. The biggest names, the best names, the biggest churches, most massive churches, when you come there, you don't find the reference point. The totality of the counsel of God in biblical scripture is kingdom, Christ and his kingdom. How that kingdom should be administered upon the face of the earth. The culture that the citizens of heaven must manifest as ambassadors to colonize in their domain. Yes, it is true that God prospered people with financial blessings, material blessings, with children, the fruit of the womb, and all of that. But those were appendages that were resultant effect for accuracy and alignment. Prosperity is not a doctrine in the scripture. It is the result of a pursuit. Those are things that happen when alignment is achieved. And then you sit under the teaching of prosperity for 14 years. You become something else, actually. I can assure you of many assortment of things you can become. One of them is that mammon will possess your soul. Your pursuits will be rigged. Your perspective will be self-centered and selfish. What will be developed in your life is actually the idol that God wants to break down. If you go into ministry from that perspective, that ministry will be an altar that feeds that particular perspective. And everyone that is so cursed as to be part of it will be a slave to the mad slave driver, mammon. So the devil knows that if he can infect us in Nigeria, he has Africa in his grip. You know, brethren normally expect that when the year is starting, we should come with prophecies. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm trying to do that now. But I discover that if we say, this thing will happen, that one will happen, this one too will happen, and we don't touch the ordinations, those prophecies have no foundation. I speak as a man that has stayed in Lagos for 4 years, where most of the major prophets in Nigeria reside. And I can tell you that those utterances have produced nothing. We have campsites and we have resorts. In fact, Bible, what they call it, prayer meetings now, strategy sessions in Lagos. Strategy sessions. If you can think right and your paradigm shifts. If you believe that there's no devil, then there's no devil for you. Jesus said, if I, by the finger of God, cast out devil. Even if Angelic Church doesn't believe in witchcraft, it is there in the Bible. In fact, witchcraft is more potent on your life when you don't believe it doesn't exist. It means you are free meat for the rainy day. You can be used to balance a spiritual equation. The fact that Angelic the Bible expunged it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Hallelujah. I know I shot you. I mean, you open yourself, so I got you there. Let it, let that wound not heal quickly until your mind is renewed.
What is important is not the name of this ministry or NKST for that matter. It is the covenant that is on ground. Anything dissociated from it in this land doesn't make so much meaning. It is without a foundation. It cannot fight the gates of hell. There is no foundation to launch that attack. It will cross, and very soon it will look like the gates of hell. It will look like it. The gates of hell will give it a shape that represents its interests, represents its dynamics. Except it is here to pioneer and administer the tokens of the covenant that makes the people relevant for God. So if we come and prophesy without making reference to the foundation from when those altars escape, it will produce people with big heads, without depth. Hallelujah. So his covenant is with the youth. And it's been 40 years since that last outpouring. And 40 in scripture is generation. And that's why God is pouring out his spirit again upon young people. Again. Why? It means that the first mandate was not fulfilled. Those guys actually took the gospel to Africa and Europe. But what they took was not the gospel. You are not with me. It was evangelized at the end of the day. I went to Malawi. The statistics show that 79% of the population of the country are Christians. That was what statistics showed. But when I went on ground, have you ever seen somebody manifest under demons and naked face or herself? You have not seen demons yet. And while I prayed in the night, the Lord appeared and he showed me a screen. And what he showed me was the original covenant he made with the first fathers in the land and how that the church had deviated from it. I did not understand that vision. And he kept the understanding from me that there's nothing you can do today outside of what I told the first fathers that will actually last the test of time. It will be blown up like the wind. Have you not had powerful meetings? You went for powerful crusades. You did powerful things. But after some time, you didn't see the effect. It didn't have a foundation. The fact that you are anointed doesn't mean you can bring a change. Every time something happened that sustained the dimensions of heaven, it was because the foundation was touched. Yes. So the angels that were kept in chains in the city, some of them were loose. Listen to me. Plenty of angels in my court, they are chained. I know you don't believe the scripture. I will show you from the Bible. If I started prophesying, you will not believe that I'm talking from scripture. You think I'm using talisman. America. Have you read in your scripture when Daniel prayed, Gabriel was sent to administer answers? And Gabriel was what? Jailed. He was jailed. I saw our land. Angels sent to support ministries, to stand to facilitate the mandate in line with covenants, became chained and in bondage. And those ministries still functioned without reinforcement, functioned without backup. I saw that a generation, so much of preaching, but what is coming from the altar doesn't come from heaven. So the pulpit is no longer a platform where we can find truth. Meanwhile, the definition of the church from the perspective of God is that it's the ground or the foundation and the pillar of truth. The voice of God must have an utterance from the hill of Zion. And when we cannot find that utterance, what we have is a union. Just like student union, sports union, petroleum workers union, Association of Road Transport Workers, they are unions. It doesn't mean they are also gathered, but they have no foundation. No spirit comes to empower them because they are not standing on any covenant. The fact that there is gathering in Abuja here, they gather five services. Five services. You are running another program entirely, because if you check the book of Acts of the Apostles, our textbook, services were held for 7 hours sometimes. So where did you get your five services, 45 minutes? How were you able to preach the salvation message completely?
It means you are there for another system, another thing entirely, not the covenants. Now, see, you, the congregation can grow. It's not a sign of success. The kingdom has not advanced. Now, mommy, the revival started in your time. Were you people holding five services that time? Only an evangelist has the license to gather crowd. I know you don't like my comment. I know you don't like it. Okay. Sorry. Let me do the one you like. We have not checked the textbook. We have not checked it. You think you are prospering because you have problem. And the more the people, the more it will be difficult to align with the covenant. You will just become what the people want. So you are busy. You are busy. And we are in interpretation of success that there's motion, there's emotion, there's commotion. You are still in manifestations, not in ordination. What do you think principalities and powers do? What do? They blind our eyes and our minds so that we cannot align. If our gospel be hid, it is hidden unto them that are lost, of whom the God of this world has blinded their hearts and their minds. When Jesus wanted his disciples to understand, what did he do? The Bible said he did a sorcery. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scripture. Where did you get that? Did God operate like that? He raised 2,000, there was service of 8,000. Then Jesus will come and say, he taught in parables there. So that you see who hungers for the kingdom, he will draw nearer. He will draw nearer. It's those ones that came from the crowd and draw nearer that you cannot teach the mysteries of the kingdom. If not, come and teach in parable. But when somebody's heart begins to desire, he doesn't need to be invited. He himself will do what? This one is coming. He has a desire. then the secrets. Those are people that carry mantles. Because they came to the covenant that is powering that voice. And there too we have an inheritance in that which God has established. And they'll become reference points in their own domain as touching that which God has released. Don't think what you see is a revival. It's made of organization and administration. Yes, there's a flame burning, but it's not actually executing any wisdom. Principalities and powers are blinded. We do not seek the ordinations anymore. That's why in the city of Abuja, there's low visibility and insufficient witness. It's the pulpit that fails. If it continues like this for 10 years, there'll be a cry. You say, what is God saying for the year? He said, he has come back again for another generation of young people. Please don't rejoice. It's more of a burden than a reason to cry out with joy. What have we been doing with the anointing since? And nothing's happening. Have you not seen Rehan Bonke's ministry? Is it noise? He comes to town. How? Is it by posters he gathers those crowds? Angels came to the territory and they invoked the covenant in the land. After 17,000 souls are won, all of us put together can't follow them up. Well, it was one man that drew that coalition of angels. You are not seeing it. How many of the souls won in Abuja were kept? Nyanyan crusade. The principality comes and angels assigned to India abort mission to attend to his ministry for 7 days. The wizards in the land don't need to be told before they will hide. That is, they are not existent. Everything goes back to how God ordained it because Bonke is still in town. But when he leaves, church politics will come, church manipulation will come, robotics will come, everything, all our demons will come. We will pray on the glory, and it will become flesh and grass. The man labored in Nigeria more than any other country. Why is it that nobody has his anointing here? Because we don't know the testament and the things that bind us. He labored here. He said he is carrying the anointing of a black man. So and that anointing keeps bringing him to Africa. If it's an anointing of a king you carry, it will take you to the palace, the throne. Where it will take you from Bajingba, it will take you to where? To the rock. By terrible things in righteousness. Sometimes people will have to die so that you can make progress and get closer to where the anointing is taking you. Sometimes there will be war in Maraba so that you will get closer. Because God has many ways of operating. It's either by signs and wonders, by war, it can be by strong hand, it can be by an outstretched arm. It can be by plague, by blight, by pestilence. Just so that someone aligned with ordination can travel closer to his spirit. So, the anointing is an African anointing. He keeps bringing him to Africa, but no Africa. As we know, he's collector. We don't even know what is sacred, what is holy. The things that we should pursue. The Lord said, I should sound the clarion call. Hallelujah. Oh, you're not with me. Hey, I say hallelujah.
Amen.
Listen, there's a reason why the Fulani people didn't win. There's something here. When the revival began, some men went to God and said, they cut covenant. Hallelujah. You know, I told Chief Dona, Shala. I said, Shala, there's something we don't know. Oh, yes, she was there. Virginia was just there. Is something we don't know because we're not there when the covenant was cut. We need one ancient man that still has that anointing, a witness that can tell us how it began. If we have that information, we'll be better stewards of the manifold grace of God. So we have to visit one elder this afternoon. So we should come tomorrow morning. That he's ready to talk now. We went to him before. He said, no, not now. Because him too, he checks the seasons and times to know when to speak and when to keep silence. Have you read the book of Ecclesiastes? He said there's a time to keep silence. You don't know that one because your life is not regulated. You just can't say, APC. They cut covenant with God. And they were able to secure the fact that Jesus will come to this land. I'm not saying rapture, that Jesus will come here again. I was in my sitting room in the 2007, sorry, and Jesus came to my room while I was praying. I saw when he touched down the land, he came from that BSU side, and he was coming barefooted. And he trekked from there to my house then in Anvapotas. And I said, why are you not having shoes? What is this? Then he said, wheresoever the sole of your feet shall tread upon, I will give you as a possession. So I now kept quiet. So he came to possess. It means that some covenants and altars have expired. So he came to take measurements so that his people can possess it. Do you know that for many years those grounds that he measured were not possessed? And I did not understand that he came for me. Yes. He took me from Makodi, we went to Tahatoka. He was still measuring altars. One that looked like graveyards. He was measuring it. That their time has expired. I did not know that he meant that those grounds need to be taken. And the more we linger, the more darkness will put us in peril. I didn't know that he was talking to the young people, the youth, that we need to wake up and build and mature the stature of the grace of leadership upon our lives to begin to take responsibility for that which we see in the land. I didn't know. It took many years to understand. The reason why he can't visit is because the elders made a covenant with him. Promise he will come again. It was obvious that knowledge was not sufficient. That the wave of the revival could not be sustained. I heard that Professor Jack those days prophesied that the revival will end because revival voices have not matured. So most of those elders knew it will end, so they went to God for discussion. And he gave a covenant. He gave a promise. I hope you know one of those foundations is what? Promises. Men compared God to take an oath. It's not Boko Haram that can distort the integrity of that oath. When I went into the court of heaven, I heard revival. The first measure of that move of God will begin and will be downloaded into the spirits of men. It is expected to produce integrity of life and blazing righteousness, confidence in God, and the workings of the gift of faith in trusting the hand of God to deliver. It is intended to be manifest in the grace of God to heal and to bring cure to the sick. This measure is already at work now. Before this meeting ends, the power of that measure, something will convince you that there is an additional measure in the earth. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's an additional measure. Because of this hand of God that will begin to move lightly. And on faceless and nameless people, a stirring so strong that you cannot deny it, so powerful, and the devil is aware that there's such movement in the divine realm, it is going to trigger an oppression, a manifestation of witchcraft for the first 3 months of this year. January, February, March will be intense with witchcraft activity. There will be an onslaught of darkness. The onslaught of darkness is not what is happening. The onslaught of darkness as a result of what? What is Do not look to Egypt to understand the patterns of your life. Do not look to politicians to give you meaning for existence. Check the covenants, the promises. Pray their fulfillment. Seek their expression. Seek their manifestation. And the anointing and the grace and reinforcement to bring them to pass will begin to work out a mystery in your life. Oh, there are things I want to share, but you see, except I go through scripture, it will not be heavy on your hearts. Many years ago, because the covenant, second covenant God has with us, this one is not Nigeria, this one is us. The covenant he has with this land is a covenant of revival. The elders secured him and made him promise that he will trigger his avalanche from our barren borders. That his glory will be made manifest. Are you with me? Oh, you are not with me. So when we discover that his covenant was revival, 12 years ago on campus, we now set up a prayer group. And all we were praying for was what? Revival. That's how a intercessory ministry is born. You are linked, your foundation is a promise or a covenant, a law, a statute, a boundary line of ordination, a passageway, a portal. You must be standing on something. I met mighty intercessors. There is one I know, if I call his name, most of our mothers and elderly people will know him. He can still pray conveniently 8 hours a day. Conveniently. He has exercised that grace for more than 15 years. So it is part, he has a structure for that dimension of grace inside of him, built by the orchestration and the administration of God. That is what he has become. He has become an altar doing the work of priesthood. But unfortunately, he has little knowledge about the factors involved in his corridor. Because of that, even though he prays a lot, the impact of his prayer is very minimal. And he does it with great oppression from darkness. Because you are not standing on something. When you are standing on powers and on ordinations, you become 10 times taller. That's when you have the capacity to mount up with wings like eagles. to float into realms, to see secrets, to be shown scrolls for Jesus to appear to you, because you have become an administrator of his great will and passion. He will come to you. We prayed for revival. I said, Lord, rend the heavens and come down. That was our anchor scripture. That the mountains might flow out at your presence. Oh God, rend the heavens and come down. And we prayed that prayer for 2 years. And in the 30th year, he rent the heavens. He knew we were not mature. He knew we could not handle the battles that we come with that level of glory. He knew it. But because we prayed, he was compelled by the covenants to respond. You pray and your prayers are not answered. You don't have a foundation. You are praying amiss. There's an appetite, there's self in your prayer. It is dissociated from all the pillars that establish the land and the people. And we prayed, and after 2 years, there was a revival. Ours was the first revival on that campus. Some of the anointings you people have moved in now, it is those prayers that paved the way for it. And I say this with all humility. We prayed, and then Satan knew that something was moving in the divine realm. And he began to make sure that our academics, I don't fail. Me, I know they fail. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Oh man, you don't know, you don't understand. I don't fail. But I failed that time. Every one of us, Lord Vince from accounting, he failed. Maurice from business, he failed. Ben from biology, he failed. I mean, principalities were humbled with failure. Jesus. Me. In fact, I had an extra year. So I was looking for goggles to wear, dark bones, and sit at the back. Oh my. Don't worry. Looking for goggles. I said, how will I attend? Hey, they were, hey, carry over. Hey, hey. We didn't know that when we were touching what God had established, that all of us would become as dead as our fathers. You know, when John the Baptist came in the spirit and power of Elijah, nobody taught him how to dress like Elijah. His dress code changed. His menu changed. His meal changed. Because you will come under the reproach of your father. You don't understand it. You will come under the circumstances, the demons he fought, the spirits he fought, we will come back. But we did not know. We were just loving God and saying, we know you want to bring revival. Bring it. Then I knew that God could help an ignorant man. Our problem is not ignorance. We don't love God. Forget it. Because God knew we were vulnerable. Darkness came with intensity. Oh Jesus, I remember. I've never felt Jesus more close than I felt in those days. Yes, now the anointing has increased. The wisdom has increased. Capacity has increased. But Jesus was with me because Satan wanted to crush me. I remember many times Jesus himself came to wake me up from prayer. It was the sweetest thing I ever did. Oh, I remember one time I was supposed to wake up to go for prayer, but rain fell, so the sleep was sweet. Jesus. And I surrendered to the atmosphere. I yielded. And the Lord came. And he helped me. I felt his touch. By my hand, when I woke up, the hand left. I went back. The hand came back. I felt it the second time. The hand left. I went again. The third time, the hand held me. I woke up. My hand was still pressed. It was pressed, and I felt it. And he held my hand like that till we reached prayer room. Hold on. Hold on, man. I didn't know that the portal was open that morning. By 4:20 a.m., I saw heaven and earth fused together, and there was a procession.
That was where stammering was destroyed from me. And the mantle of wisdom to teach mysteries and to see things in heaven and declare them on earth. That was when I received it. It took 14 years for that mantle to mature. But you know what? Today we are stronger and we know the truth more. If he came because we prayed for 2 years, we will trap him down here. We'll give him a seat. Sit down. No need to go back. Administer your mystery and counsel amidst these people. And let your hand be seen. Let your presence be made known. Let kings come from the east to bow down and to make obeisance. If we can set up his throne, even the vilest of men, we say, the Lord ruleth in the affairs. If we don't love him, we cannot contain him enough to stand darkness. For 5 years, there was an intense plan of darkness over my life. If I say this, you'll not believe. A woman was sent from the water to make sure I had sexual intercourse with her for 5 years. She followed me for 5 years. You know what I'm saying? Okay, then no. 5 years. Now let me be a little bit carnal, but I want to do it so that you understand. You know, I have to take permission from the elders. I don't like tall women. Like short, the one I can see the head. The man said, "Imo Araku, Yakuma Satomina Sila." May the Lord give you understanding. I cannot be tempted by a tall woman, but a short one. That one was short. Let me stop there. The devil knows what you like. There will be a fight. Either if you love God enough to look away. You know that scripture that said, "Look it unto Jesus." You didn't read it well. The original language said, "Look away unto Jesus." Because there's something that is you like is there by the side. It takes power to look unto Jesus. When I come into the prayer room, I have to tell Jesus I love him 17 times, 20 times before I gather myself. Because there's something I want is out there, and it was there for 5 years. I knew I did not have the power to contain it. So I stayed in a place of prayer for long to get the shadow of the Almighty. I knew I would die if I tried that. But when she came closer, I was paralyzed. So I stayed long. After 5 years of leaving school, I came back to Makodi on posting. I went for Umar Kaiko. Said, "You know how the place was jam-packed? The lady wiggled herself out of the crowd and she found me." Out of the crowd! But you know what? Before I came that 5 years, I grew horns in the spirit. I stayed years without food. And I had seen the Lord clearly. The man that came back was not the man here that came from here. She preached to me a few months after that second encounter. "If you refuse all these years, don't refuse Jesus again." She was the one that confronted me at last and said, "See, this Jesus, serve him." I said, "I will do that." After 5 years, when she admonished me to serve Jesus, the heavens opened. See, it doesn't matter the orchestrations of darkness, it is the ordinations that matter. If you still remember it, if you still believe in it, it will wait off the flies, it will wait off Beelzebub, it will wait off witchcraft, it will keep you standing when others are falling. Jesus said he will come again. That's what he told me in 2007. Late last year, he began to say, "The time for me to come
us alive. So gather the stones out from the highways, so that my chariot will gallop without hindrance. When he said gather the stones out, I knew that each and every one of us will have to look at that thing that stands in the way of the Lord, and we'll have to deal with it, so that his coming will be swift and his throne will be visible.